Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, Joe? December. A few more weeks, Christmas. A week after that, new year, and we're going to bring in 2017 with the Word of God. You know how we're going to leave with the Word of God, we're going to bring the new year in with the Word of God. Amen? Because that's what we do here on this podcast, live stream, whatever you want to call it, Bible study, devotional. That's what we do. We bring the Word of God in, and we leave. We come with the Word, and we end with the Word daily. So I'm just excited about what God is going to do in 2017, because 2016 has been full of trials and tribulations. But nonetheless, our God is still on the throne. He's still God. He's still faithful. He's still committed. He's going to his will come to pass, and he's going to continue to do what he said he was going to do. So we need to be faithful, just be committed, and we have to be people that are willing to persevere. We have to be people who are willing to persevere. Nothing comes overnight, friends. You don't want the microwave Christianity version. You want what God has for you, because what he has for you is going to cause you to grow, you and me to grow. If we get everything instantaneously, we're going to be disappointed at the end of it, because we're not going to appreciate what God has brought us through and how he's matured us and grew us up. So we need to be appreciative. And I think that's what the book of Proverbs shows us, is that, you know, it's through these learning about what wisdom is and how to apply it, how to grow in our faith. And we have to apply it. We have to look into it daily. We have to seek him daily for wisdom. Because the moment we think we've arrived, friends, that's when pride can build up. So we have to be careful with that. But I'm so grateful for what God is doing in my life. I'm so grateful for the ministry he's given me. I'm so grateful for the body of Christ when I see people encouraged by the Word of God. So, you know, it's not about a popularity contest, but it is about souls who are being conformed to the image of God. Not the image of Daryl, but the image of God. So that's what I'm here to do, is to lift you up, encourage you. And I expect the same. I appreciate when you give me the love and show me the respect as a man of God. And I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful because you don't have to come here. You can be spending your time doing other things. So we need to encourage one another. So with that being said, 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. I would love to hear from some of you folks today at the end of the broadcast. If you got a prayer request, or if you just want to share your heart, you want to share what you think about. And we're coming up on the end of this year, so, you know, if you have, you know, you might not like me. You might not like what I teach about. You might have a disagreement. If we can disagree in love at that. So if you don't like what I'm saying, or you don't agree with something I said, or maybe it's something that you may not have some clarity on, I might not have the answer right now, but I'll research it and look for it. I don't claim to be the Bible answer man. I'm a student of the Word of God, just like many of you. I just know what God's calling me to, but at the same time, I want to stay in my lane and know that, hey, I don't know all the answers, but I tell you what, God does. And all I can do is go and research and use the tools and the gifts that he's given me to look into it and find an answer that will be beneficial. But I don't claim to know everything by any means. So let us pray and let us have a few announcements, and we're going to get into Proverbs 28. For those that don't know, we've been going through the whole book of Proverbs since, I think we started maybe about, I want to say April. And so it's been taking a minute because we kind of had some hit and misses here and there, and my computer, it went down too. So I wasn't able to do much cheap teaching from my podcast. But we're back. We got a new computer. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank a brother, Brother Larry, who really blessed me, and a complete stranger. I have to tell the story. A complete stranger who had been listening to my teachings and what God had been doing in my life as far as podcasts and blog talk radio and things like that. And he blessed me with a computer on Black Friday. So it was such a blessing. This brother don't even know me, but he knew my desire for God's word and my heart for the kingdom. And so him and his wife blessed me. And I was so grateful. And that's what happens, friends, when, you know, when we're faithful with the little, God can open up the bowels of compassion, and people can donate, people can give, people will bless you. And we never know where the blessing going to come. You know, a lot of times we think only the church is going to get blessed because the pastor is preaching that prosperity nonsense, telling you, know, God, if you get this, God going to give you that. No, how about you give somebody something? You know, Pastor Putin-Tang over there trying to rape you and steal money from you all the time, but he ain't never giving nobody nothing. But he driving around in his Rolls Royce Bentley. He living in a $1 million home because he pimping the flock. Instead of teaching and feeding the flock, he's fleecing the flock. The real pastors don't do that. Real men of God don't pimp the sheep. They pastor. They pastor and they watch over the sheep. They shepherd over the flock of God. And that's what we all need to be involved in. Healthy, well-balanced churches where God's people are being encouraged and built up in their most holy faith, because there's so many people, because they've been abused and used in churches, and they think that all churches or all pastors are nothing but con artists and pimps. That's what they think. And it's sad. It's an indictment that we don't need. We need to change that. We need to get that out of our spirit. All churches aren't really churches. Let's just call it what it is. God's church is distinct from Satan's church. There's a synagogue of Satan out there. There's many other so-called religions out there, but they're not glorifying the true and living God that we serve. So we need to be about God's business. We're seeking him and praying and asking God, where do I go to fellowship? God will show you. He'll open doors. But don't think you're going to find a perfect church. It's no such thing. No such thing at all. Because, hey, as long as we're in there, as long as human beings come in there in the flesh and not walking in the spirit, there's going to be controversy from time to time. You try to keep as much of it, you try to keep as much as possible out of it, but at the same time, as long as humans are in the body of Christ, there's going to be some kind of conflict and controversy. But that's where pastors and shepherds need to be policemen as well. They need to be guarding and watching over the flock. And I know I got a pastor friend here, Clifton Merck. I know he can testify to that. Not easy to shepherd people that don't want to be shepherds, that don't want to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. Welcome Facebook. Welcome Periscope. And welcome those who are listening on the Blog Talk Radio on the player. God bless each and every one of you. I pray that your day, your week has been fruitful. Pray for me in this ministry. Pray for what God is doing. I'll share some other good news as the Lord, as we get into this lesson. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Not just for the cross, Lord God, but giving us sound wisdom and a right mind. That we can walk with you in newness, Lord, and understand who you are and what you have called us to do. You saved us so we can bring you glory. You saved us so we can bring you honor as we become the new creations, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, and we can show the world that we are transformed by a renewed mind. Lord, right now, Lord, we want our minds to be sharp. We want our minds to be able to think with a biblical mindset. Right now, Lord, we lay ourselves at the foot of the cross. May we decrease, may you increase, and may you get all the glory and we receive the growth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We say amen. 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 646-668-8468. Please, somebody call in today and just tell me what you think. If you want prayer, if you have something to share, if there's something you got to tell. I know somebody got a Christmas testimony. Somebody got something, had something going on this month or in their life that they want to share. So hey, at the end of the show, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. So call in at 646-668-8468. But right now, also, I want to invite you, if you're in the Los Angeles area, please come check us out at Core Church of Los Angeles. Core Church of Los Angeles, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. You can also go to the website www.corechurchla.org, www.corechurchla.org. Maybe you have some family members that live in the area, West Los Angeles area, that's looking for a Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church where the love of God will be showed and shared, and you will be encouraged to live out your faith. So please come check us out at Core Church, 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tonight, Core Church of Los Angeles. Also, friends, continue to just lift me, my family up, as God is just you know, I believe 2017 is going to be a new year financially for me. I believe that there's going to be some things, some doors open, and most importantly, God is going to use me more speaking engagements. I've already been called upon to speak down at the Fred Jordan Mission on a rotation, so that'll probably be on Thursdays or every other Thursday or every three or four Thursdays. But again, these are little small little nuggets that the Lord opens up doors where you can be able to be used to use your gift, your time, your talent, your treasure for His glory. So I'm just excited about what he's about to do, and I need you guys to continue to lift me up in prayer, because if you saw me last week on that opportunity, that speaking engagement last week at Fred Jordan Mission down on Skid Row, down in Los Angeles on Skid Row, I was a nervous wreck. As much as I do this, friends, I'm still humbled every time this was, and I haven't had many public speaking engagements, but I guess, you know, and it showed. I'll put it like that. It showed, because I definitely was very nervous. So, hey, don't y'all think that I just come here and I'm just, you know, got it all, you know, sitting back, chilling, and I'm just a cool breeze. It's easy to kind of do it here because you're not looking back at me. I know I can see who's on here, but I don't know who's necessarily looking. Or, I mean, I don't see your face. You see mine. So I was just, you know, I was very nervous. I'll say that. But it was a great time. And, you know, one sister rededicated her life back to the Lord. And, you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with people that's homeless and they kind of feel like, you know, society has thrown them to the wolves, you know, everybody that comes here is not coming there, you know, for the word. They want a meal. You know, part of coming to, you know, getting fed that day is you must go to chapel and you must be in there before the doors close. But when they close the doors, nobody else is allowed back in there. They can't come in there afterwards and say, "Oh, I want to get fed." No, you have to participate in chapel. So, nonetheless, God called us to go in there for and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what I was called to do, and I did it with joy. Amen. Amen. So let's get into Proverbs 28, and see what God has to say to us this day. Here in Proverbs 28, verse 1, he says, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as lions." Benson has said that the wicked flee because of a consciousness of their guilt, it excites in them a continual expectation and a dread of God's judgment. You notice that people who know God, or they claim they don't know God, they seem to have a fear of God. That's why they don't like the name of Jesus. See, why would you be offended by something that's a fairy tale? Why is it that the name of Jesus is not allowed, that now in the state of Colorado, they don't want you to mention the name of Jesus? They don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. They don't want you to stand on the word of God and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Look, if he's a fairy tale, he's no different than Santa Claus. And nobody is kicking Santa out of Christmas. But they've definitely wanted to kick Jesus out of Christmas. But nonetheless, those of us who are believers, friends, we don't have to ever denounce our Lord and Savior to try to please man, even if it will cost us the freedom, even if it'll cost us our life. God wants us to be bold as lions. He also tells us here that, but the righteous are bold as lions. Why are we bold? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and when the Holy Spirit came upon that new church in Acts chapter 2, we saw that Peter, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the first the act of the Holy Spirit acting upon them was boldness. They had a divine, they had a boldness about them. They weren't ashamed of the gospel. They weren't concerned about how people felt about them. They said, "Hey, are we to obey God or man?" Some of us are so afraid when God says he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, of power, and a sound mind are courageous. We need to understand that, but the righteous are bold as lion, as a lion, are courageous and resolute, having the testimony of a good conscience and assurance of the divine favor of protection and the supports and consolations of the Holy Spirit. Friends, you and I have everything that we need to live out our Christian faith. The issue is, are we going to live out our Christian faith under the guise of the Holy Spirit? Or are we trying to make man like us, make this world our friend? God has called us out of the world and into the marvelous light. He's called us to separate ourselves from the standards of the world. We don't leave the world yet, but we need to separate ourselves, our ideology. We are Christians. We follow Christ. We don't follow the lifestyle of the ungodly or the wicked. Proverbs 28:2 tells us, by the transgression of a land, many are his princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures. For a government or a society to endure, it needs wise and informed leaders. And these are hard to find. Each person's selfishness quickly affects others. A selfish employee who steals from his company ruins its productivity. A selfish driver who drinks taking the wheel makes the state highways unsafe. A selfish spouse who has his or her adulterous affair often breaks up several families. When people live for themselves with little concern for how their actions affect others, the resulting morals contaminates the entire nation. Are you part of the problem or part of the solution? And all of this is just what the society looks. We live in a world just like this. We live in a world just like this with selfish people. Again, transgression of a land, many are its princes, but a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures. We need to obey the laws of the land as Christians. We need to uphold what is right. We need to stand for what is right. And speak against those things that are wrong. We need to do that. We need to take a stand for what's just and right, righteousness and moral. We need to stand on that. We are Christians. We are followers of Yeshua, not followers of Jesus. Proverbs 28:3, a poor man who oppresses the lowly is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Who has said, when a poor man being advanced into a place of authority abuses it to oppress those that are poor and unable to resist him, he is like a violent rain or a flood which washeth away the very seeds which are in the earth and spoileth the corn and fruits which are upon it. He is the worst of all oppressors because as he is of a base mind, which also is made much worse by a sudden change in elevation into a high condition, so his own necessities inflame the desires and make him greedy to take all. Yea, even the small advantages of enriching himself, which the ancients expressed by the similitude of an empty horse leech, which suckleth a horse leech would suckle much more strongly than that which is already filled, and of a dry sponge which licks up far more water than that which was wet before. So we see here, right here, friends, this is how somebody is basically a sluggard who basically will take advantage of you. You invite them in your home and you invite them in for basically, hey, you can stay here. You can do what you need to do to get back on your feet, but they don't have no desire to really get back on their feet. They're going to continue to make excuses for, you know, whatever, why they're not going to get back on their feet. We're not talking about people. I'm talking about somebody that's lazy, that just doesn't want to do it. They refuse to do what they need to do, and that's why they're poor. A poor man oppresses the lowly. A poor man who oppresses the lowly is like a driving rain which leaves no food. You know, rain always gave increase to the nutrients of the land. If you wanted to grow crops, one of the ways you was considered prosperous in the Old Testament was that if you had tremendous crops growing, your farmland was doing well because you got rain and you needed it, and the rain produced crops, it produced produce. This person is like rain that floods out the crops. In other words, you have so much rain that you, because this person is constantly begging or constantly stealing from you. They're not there to lift you up or help you. They're there to get what they can get from you, and then they're gone. Proverbs 28:4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Those who forsake the law praise those who break the law and have become wicked. They cry, look at their freedom. Look at them following their natural desires. Isn't that a great thing? But here is the tension. Those who strive to keep the law strive with them. Where there is no law, lawlessness will abound. You imagine if we lived in a country with no laws. Our laws have become so liberal, but guess what? Thank God we still have laws in place. Thank you that it's still against the law to do certain things that could harm us. You got a lot of people that just don't respect the law. Lawlessness, friends. Lawlessness. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Look, if you're a criminal, if you're a thug, if you don't care about anybody else but yourself, then you won't follow authority. You're not going to be concerned about how your wrongdoing affecting other people because you're lawless. You're only consumed by your own lust and your own desires and passions. No matter who it hurts, who it destroys, who it kills, you're still striving to get your will and agenda done. You're not concerned about God's will or agenda. Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Because justice is part of God's character, a person who follows God treats others justly. Justice begins with concern for what is happening to others. A Christian cannot be indifferent to human suffering because God isn't. And we certainly must not contribute to the human suffering through selfish business practices or unfair government policies. Be sure you are more concerned for justice than merely your own interests. You can't complain to follow God and ignore your neighbor. This ties right into one of the biggest things we have here, or two of the biggest things we have here, dealing with abortions and same-sex unions. It deals with both of them. Follow the mandate of the scriptures, which God laid out before the foundations of the world. These were his words, and we follow what's true to God's word. See, he's given us the laws for a purpose, to govern us, to keep us effective, or keep us out of trouble, or keep us away from being judged. He told us, this I don't like, this I hate. Don't practice this. If you practice this, there's consequences to this. Again, what would the world be like if there was no law? What would our world be like, our society be like, our neighborhoods be like, if people could just walk in your house, take your stuff, and then walk right back out, or come in and rape your children, or come in and abuse your children? I mean, come on. We say we believe God and we want justice, but we want justice and we want to rewrite it to our own emotions and feelings and flesh. That's not how it works. God wants us. He's already given us what the rules are to this life. And he says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I command you to do. He says, you need to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that love is not some old mushy, 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 you know, and I just squeeze you like a Tickle Me Elmo doll. That's not the love he's talking about. This love is selfless, selfless. It's agapeo love. And it means I have your best interest. Because if I tell you the truth, it's going to come from God's word. It's not going to come from me. It's going to come from God Almighty, but it's not going to come from me. I'm just speaking what he already said. The problem is people want to read the Bible, but they don't want you to tell you what they don't want you to tell them what the Bible says because they don't like the way you said it, even though they say they agree with it. Shame on us. We all need to be a little bit more bolder and a little bit more strengthened by our conviction. If you say you're a Christian, then your conviction should be lined up with the biblical truth, just like my convictions should be lined up with the biblical truth. If I start to be all emotional in my feelings because you told me the truth, then there's a problem with you, not me. Problem with you. Proverbs 28:6 tells us, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. Here you see a group of people, or you have people that there's different classes. If somebody is rich, then we seem to be afraid to tell them what God says because we seem to be more concerned about their riches than their soul. God is telling us that it's important for us to walk in integrity. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you get a pass from integrity. You and I still need to walk upright, whether you're rich or poor or middle class. You and I need to walk with integrity. Again, he says in Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. Look, if you're rich and you think you're going to get in heaven because you've got a bunch of money down here, no, you're going first class to hell, practicing your foolishness. Matthew Henry's commentary is honest, godly, poor. An honest, godly, poor man is better than a wicked, ungodly, rich man. He has more comfort in himself and is a greater blessing to the world. A rich man is more blessing to the world. See, they can feed all of your lust. You know, you imagine somebody like President-elect Donald Trump, you know, giving all his money away to the poor. Now, that might be a good gesture, but that's not going to get him into the kingdom of heaven. Just because he gave to the poor and blessed a bunch of folks doesn't mean he's going to get into the kingdom of heaven because of that. You can only come in one way, my brothers and sisters, and that must be by the cross. You must be redeemed and born again of the Spirit. You and I don't get in by our money. We don't get in by our status. You could be the president, you could be a king, but you still must submit and bow down to the King of Kings, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Without him, you're not getting nowhere near the kingdom of God. Integrity, friends, you can't buy it. Integrity, you can't find it in a store. Can't find it under your bed or in the garage. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ. We must die so we can live, have eternal life. Proverbs 28:7, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. You are known by the company you keep. Do you think that your behavior only affects you? I think somebody do live like that. Some people live just like that. They really believe that they can live any way they want to and it should be okay with in society. That's what they believe. Again, he says, do you think your behavior only affects you? Do you think that? Our behavior affects many, many, many people because people are watching us, especially when we have the name and we claim to be soldiers for Christ. We claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Now, look, I got this hat and I bought it downtown. I used to have a gang of these hats. I would get them at truck stops. I would get them. A lot of times I would get them at the VA in Houston every time I went there, but I found a place even cheaper than that because for what I would pay for one hat at the VA in Houston or even at the one out in West L.A., you can buy, you know, I can go down and buy 20 of these hats and get three for $10. So this is a better deal. The point is that if I'm wearing this hat out and about and it says Jesus is my boss, but I'm cussing up a storm, I'm talking about the world and how much I'm in love with it. I'm displaying my character and my what I'm saying and how I'm walking and talking is more lined up with the world and not with the word, then Jesus really not my boss. I can have that on my hat, but it doesn't mean anything if Jesus is really not my boss. If cussing even around here, where my parents can hear me, if I'm using foul language, ungodly language, if I have an attitude towards people all the time and I'm not loving on people and I'm not sensitive to people and compassionate with people, I don't show kindness to people, then all of God talk in the world is not going to make any difference. And if my neighbors can't see fruit in my life, they hear me cursing up a storm and talking bad to my fiance or talking bad to my parents. You know, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm grown and blah, blah, blah. Look, and my witness is blown. Means nothing to God. It means nothing. It's just God talk with no God walk, no fruit on the tree. Remember yesterday I taught about, are you a true disciple of Jesus Christ? And we read in John 15 how it's important for us to abide in his love. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful and committed to the message and the messenger. Too many people playing games, though. Again, he says, you are known by the company you keep. Do you think that your behavior only affects you? Think again, it affects those who are around you and brings honor or shame to a person's family. I don't want to ever bring dishonor or shame to my family. I'm out here, you know, claiming to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm out here, you know, stealing, going to the fruit stand, stealing fruit. I didn't have no change in my pocket, so I decided I was going to take an apple or something. Or I'm out here, you know, I'm caught down the street at a drug house or something because I was smoking the wacky tobacco, you know. Not you, Chris. Some of you professors already think, you know, well, God made it, so it's okay. Really? He made a lot of things. He made my waist, you know, when I have to go, you know. But that don't mean I'm going to eat it. Come on now. We got to be sensible about things. Some things are just common sense. Is all things lawful for me to participate in? Is it good for me to participate in that? And why am I doing it? Why am I doing that? Why am I getting drunk? Why am I getting high? Where am I trying to escape to? And why can't I find peace in Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Something to think about. Proverbs 28:8. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. John E. Norton has said, when greed of gain has secured a lodging in the heart, it imperiously demands satisfaction. The rude robber stops his victim on the highway and holds midnight revels on the spoil. And the cunning accountant defrauds his creditors and rides in his carriage. Does a just God see much difference between them? Christian integrity will, in the end, always receive its merited reward. Instead of worldly maxims based on low and unworthy principles, let the solemn question of our Lord keep us from evil ways. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or will a man give in exchange for his own soul? It all comes down to integrity, usury. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. We need to be careful about when you loan money to people and then charge them extenuating interest or high interest way beyond what's right and what's fair. God doesn't take that lightly. He doesn't take that as some light affliction. Again, we need to be like Jesus. We all should have a desire to be like Jesus. Proverbs 28:9 tells us this. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayers an abomination. This is flat out backsliding. This is rebellion. This is saying, well, I know I don't want to follow God today. I'm just going to do my thing. And, you know, hey, God is a God of grace, so I'm just going to pick, you know, do what I want to do. No, this is more than that. You're not just turning for the day. This is a person that says, hey, I don't want nothing to do with God no more. He's saying, look, he who turns his ear from listening to the law, prayer, even his prayer is an abomination. I don't want my prayers to be an abomination. That means that God hates your prayers. That means God is offended by you praying to him and you're not walking in obedience to him. You know, it's kind of like, Lord, I want you to bless my family, but I'm going to be a whoremonger, idolater, covetous, greed. I'm going to do all the things that you said will not let me into the kingdom of heaven, but I'm going to deceive myself because, I've turned my ear away from listening to your law or your commandments, so therefore I'm going to do my own thing, yet you have to listen to my prayers. And God says, no, your prayers are an abomination to him. God doesn't want to hear your prayers. He's not listening. He's not listening to you because you're out of the will of God. So you turn back. He's not obligated to listen to you. See, I think people got it twisted. They think they're there to God in a relationship because they can turn God on and turn him off. Or they can turn the light switch on, turn the light switch off. That might work in the real world, but that's not going to work in heaven. You're not going to make it there with that attitude either. Proverbs, again, he says, if you will not listen to God's law or follow his instruction, do you think he will hear your prayers? God does not listen to our prayers if we intend to go back to our sin as soon as we get off our knees. When we forsake our sin and follow him, however, he is willing to listen no matter how bad our sin has been. Let me back up here. He says, if you will not listen to God's law, follow his instruction, do you think he will hear your prayers? That's a question. God does not listen to our prayers if we intend to go back to our sin as soon as we get off our knees. When we forsake our sin and follow him, however, he willingly listens, no matter how bad our sin has been. What closes his ears is not the depth of our sin, but our secret intention to do it again and again and again. God hears our intentions as clearly as he hears our words. So in other words, when you're playing the hypocrite, if I'm playing the hypocrite, Lord, forgive me. I'm gonna turn my life around. I want to follow you, Lord. And then yet we go right back to our sin. Him, her, it, that, they. And God says, see, you're playing games. You're playing games with me, and I'm not playing games with you. And I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing. Proverbs 28:10, he who leads the right upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. Let me read that again. He who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. Don't you want to inherit good? I do. I want what God has for me. Because what God has for me is better than what I have for myself. His ways are not my ways, but when he leads me, I know that I'm going to be led and directed in right standing with God. I know I'm going to be in good standing with the great I am. And that's a great thing. Barnes has said, when the wicked succeed in tempting the righteous, vice seems to win. When they win a triumph, but the triumph is suicidal. The tempter will suffer the punishment he deserves, and and the blameless, if true to themselves, will be strengthened and ennobled by the temptation. Again, he says, he who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. You ever notice how sometimes you get the big brothers taking their little brothers out, and next thing you know, the big brother is showing the little brother how to do a crime or how to, you know, kids are sponges. Kids are sponges, but young people are sponges as well. Young people, young adults are sponges as well. They listen to you. And either we're going to be teachers that bring glory to God, and we're going to encourage them and build them up and show them how to walk accordingly, how God wants them to be led by godly direction, or we're going to lead them to hell. Because that's where we're going. 28:11. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor man who has understanding sees through him. Rich people often think they are wonderful depending on no one. They take the credit for all they do, but that's the hollow of self-esteem. Through dependence on God and in their struggles, the poor may develop a richness of spirit that no amount of wealth can provide. The rich person can lose all his material wealth, while no one can take away the poor person's character. Don't be jealous of the rich. Money may be all they have and will ever have. Money can be all they have and will ever have. There's some people think that the money is going to solve all their problems. We know we need it, but many of us are so covetous by it, we're allowing it to rule and reign over everything in our life. We're allowing it to rule and reign over everything in our life. Verse 12 of chapter 28. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. It is great to have righteous leaders. Everyone rejoices. But when a wicked leader becomes in power, you can expect wickedness to follow. No one wants to be in the path of a wicked man. No one wants to be in the path of a wicked man or woman. Proverbs 28:13. I think I'm going to cut it off. We'll just have a part two on Proverbs 28. We'll stop around 15, though, and we'll come back. Give you opportunity though, 646-668-8468. Call the number. You can go ahead and start dialing in now. Call in 646-668-8468. If you have a problem calling in, please let me know. But hey, I would like to hear from somebody today that is able to just share a couple of minutes of what's been going on in your life, and this should be a good time to be able to do that. So 646-668-8468. Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. And one of the biggest things that's going on or going wrong in people's Christian life, a lack of being able to confess and be honest with God about who you are and what you are. Not telling God what he already knows. Not laying your burdens or laying yourself prostrate before God and saying, "Here, Lord, this is me. Naked, exposed." Something that each of us strongly resists admitting we are wrong. That is why we admire people who openly and graciously admit their mistakes and sin. These people have a strong self-image. They do not always have to be right to feel good about themselves. Be willing to reconsider, to admit that you are wrong, and to change your plans when necessary. Remember, the first forgiveness is confession. The first step towards forgiveness is confession. A lot of people just don't want to do it. Just not going to do it. Proverbs 28:14. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. A godly respect, fear for God is a blessing. Many today have no fear of God in them, perhaps because they do not believe he exists, or they do not care, or perhaps they have hardened their hearts. People just harden their hearts. They just stop being loving. Again, he says, perhaps they have hardened their hearts against him, but there is the deadly promise. He who hardens his heart will not or will fall into a in calamity. He who hardens his heart is going to fall into calamity. Because hardening your heart is just a form of pride. It's a form of pride. I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to win this argument, and I'm going to stand on my own. I'm going to stand on my principles and my conscience, even though they're not lined up with biblical truth. God has no problem but to let you do what you do. We'll close off here. Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a rushing bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. Benson has said a bear and a lion are always cruel and greedy in their natures, and especially so that when they are hungry and want prey, in the which case the lions roar and bears range about for it. So as a wicked ruler, instead of being a nursing father and a faithful and tender shepherd as he ought to be, he is cruel and unsatiable, an insatiable oppressor of his subjects. Over the poor people whom he particularly mentions to aggravate this wicked ruler's sin, in devouring them from the laws of the land or laws of God and common humanity, bound him to relieve and protect, or to express the effect he has bad government in making the people poor by his frauds and rapines. Let me read that from another commentary here. As a roaring lion, and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetous shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. We see here again how this person, a bear and a lion, are always cruel and greedy in their nature, and especially so when they are hungry and want prey, in which case the lions roar and bears range about for it, so is a wicked ruler. In other words, this could be an unruly king, an ungodly person that's in office or the presidency, somebody that is pro-abortion rather than pro-life. That's a form of wickedness, that you're killing babies. You're signing off on the murder of children, of the innocent children. You know, I got to keep it real, friends, because see, you can't have, we love humanity, but yet we want to murder babies in the womb, and it's got a heartbeat. It's got a heart. It's got a pulse. It's alive. That child is alive. Male or female, it's alive. And then guess what? It was created by our Heavenly Father in his image. A child is not an it or a thing or something you can just throw in the trash and think that God's just going to just wink his eyes at that, like we're doing a good thing here. Like you did a good thing and he gives you the thumb up. No, friends. He's not going to give you the thumbs up for that. Those who sign off on abortion are evil. Keep it real. That's a form of murder. Because you're saying that child is not worth any life. It doesn't deserve to live. You're living, but that child doesn't deserve to live because you deem it so. You deem it so. That's a wicked ruler. You're making a decision for the life for those who cannot speak. They're not able to tell you what they feel, so you don't want to give them an opportunity to speak. But guess what? When the babies were little, what did we do? They told us when they were hungry. So I'm sure they're telling us they're in pain when you go and murder them. It's wicked. It's wickedness. There are wicked rulers all through the world we live in. But I thank God that we have a holy God, a God that is loving, who cares about the voice of the voiceless, and he will vindicate all who have been murdered. If they went back to the father, see, that child is safer than those who have murdered from the womb. That child is more safer than you and I put together. They're protected under God's hand. They went home to be with the father. We're going to cut it off right there, and we're going to, I don't see anybody calling in, but I'm going to give you one more opportunity. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. We're going to take a quick time to go ahead and call now. We'll stick around for a couple minutes. Let's pray and just thank God for this time in the Word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. We thank you for speaking to us, Lord God, speaking to our souls, Lord. So much to learn in Proverbs and so much to try to remember, Lord. But we just ask, Lord, right now, Lord, that you would just, we pray that you would be pleased with us this day, Lord God, as we just uplift the name that's above all names. We ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would just protect the unborn, those who are where the mothers have decided that they don't want it. They didn't want to be responsible. They decided to be irresponsible and wanted to get rid of the problem rather than come to a solution, a godly solution. Lord, right now, Lord, we need a revival in our hearts. We need redemption. We need regeneration. We need people to be born again. We love you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. We lift you up and magnify you this day. May all who agree say amen, amen, and amen. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468 is the calling number. We just need to continue to fight the good fight. We need to fight the good fight because God is going to come back soon. Our Lord and Savior is coming back real soon. He's coming back to justify. He's coming back to deal with the evil that's in the land. But right now, he's giving mankind, still giving mankind an opportunity to repent. He's giving man an opportunity to repent. And he's patient. He's long-suffering. Nobody can accuse God of not being patient because so many things that we definitely deserve his judgment over our head. But he decided not to. So we just want to keep on praying, lifting up the name above all names, our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I don't see we have any phone calls. So we're gonna go ahead and cut it off. Again tonight, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Core Church of Los Angeles. If you can come out, 2037 South La Seneca Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. 90034. You can also catch us live on live stream around 8 o'clock. Worship starts at 7:30, but the podcast starts at 8 o'clock. So please come check us out and be encouraged. Also on Sundays at 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30, there's a live. There'll be our morning worships at 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30. On Sunday morning, so come check us out there. Hey, I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Tonight, there's no change. It is your permission. Tonight, there's no change. It is your permission. you
Hallelujah.